live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Hey y'all, Tuck Carlson here, introducing my new video series, Tuck Carlson's How to Be a Warbird Pilot. I don't care what you fly. Warbird pilots are the coolest, and I can teach you how to be one. Best part is, you don't even need a plane. Hell, you don't even need to know what a warbird is just by my video. Inside, you'll learn all the important stuff, like how to fit a flight suit around a beer belly, and why that beer belly is a safety feature. How to ignore small children at air shows. I ain't got time for that. How to grow your ego and sign unreadable autographs. Plus, you'll learn why freedom's the greatest answer to any question. Hey, Tuck, why do you fly these awesome airplanes? For freedom? Or when your wife finds out how much you've spent? Damn it, Tuck. Why'd you spend $6,000 on Avgas? For freedom. So for freedom's sake, buy my video. Before long, people be thinking you're somebody. You'll be sitting around campfires with real women, signing autographs, and petting pretty little baby bald eagles that you grew in redwood trees that you planted beside your hangar. Be awesome, love freedom, and get your copy of Tuck Carlson's How to Be a Warbird Pilot right now. Hey, y'all, hurry, and I'll toss in a special bonus pack. Tuck Carlson's How to Look Good in Short Shorts Late at Night and in the Pilot Briefing. Trust me, short shorts are the coolest things ever. Call now.
Supporting bees the old-fashioned way. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
And good evening, everybody. Matt Jolly here with you for the 7th of February, 2017. Our big Valentine's Day show coming up next week on the 14th. So if you don't have a date, if you're listening to this show, odds are most of you don't. give me a listen on the 14th for Valentine's Day. We're going to have a good time on that. And speaking of a guy that is all alone tonight in the hangar, I presume, is Scooter Yoke, our guest tonight. Scott, how's life treating you, buddy? Way down there in
everything's
South Carolina.
Everything's going just fine down here in sunny South Carolina.
Sunny South Carolina, your new home, where you live on an air park with just you and your gorgeous girl, the P-51 Mustang that we all know as Quicksilver. How is that, changing states from West Virginia, West by God Virginia, down to South Carolina? How's that been for you?
It's been awesome. It's been one of the best moves, I think, for not only the restoration company, but the air show company as well, because, well, there's just better incentives to moving south and better weather for flying year-round as well. So you really can't beat that, you know?
Yeah, well, it's no doubt a change for you, because normally this time of year you're buried up in snow and ice and all things unpleasant. And down there in South Carolina, they don't even know what that is, do they?
That's right. Well, they did get snow here on the air park a couple weeks ago, but I was down in West Palm working on an airplane, so I completely missed it. It was only there for a couple hours, which, you know, is a little different than back in West by God, but that's okay. It'll always be my home, but for now, this is the new home of Quicksilver.
I love it. You're down there in a nice little air park, right? It's sort of outside of Aiken, South Carolina, just so folks have a reference of where we're talking about. And that really sets you up for a terrific season because of the logistics for this. I mean, it's expensive to move a World War II era fighter across the country, and this sort of repositions you a little further south and able to get to some shows that maybe you couldn't get to in the past.
Absolutely. And when, you know, irony strikes, whenever you do move south, as soon as I do move south, I get a lot more shows in the Northeast. So you know, it takes you got to give and take where you can, but you know, our southern shows, especially our staple shows, are a lot happier that we're a lot closer to them now.
There you go. We're talking to Scooter Yoke, the most aggressive P-51 pilot in the country today, in the United States today, on the air show circuit. If you haven't seen Scooter's outstanding demonstration, check it out at an air show near you, or even better, right now you can go on any of the social media sites and type in Quicksilver P-51, and you will find an abundance of content. Now, you and I have been talking about this. There's some cool stuff coming in the works as far as video and content goes, and I don't know how much you want to get into that, but, I mean, there is some cool stuff coming down the pipe for Quicksilver fans.
Absolutely. We announced earlier this year on our Facebook page that we are going to bring back our video series of air show recaps. Those really gave us a lot of exposure and really kept our fans happy. If I could afford to take everybody for a ride in the airplane, I would. But you know, one of the next best things is actually seeing what I'm able to see as I put the airplane through its paces all across the country. You know, 20 plus shows this year. Especially folks that maybe aren't able to get out to the certain shows that they want to. Just a little, you know, we're going to shorten them to about a minute and a half or so, just to give them a little insight of what's going on. We have that going on, and then what's coming down hard now in the idea pipe is we're thinking about starting a YouTube channel. All of our friends have said that it's something that we need to do. It's very diverse, everything from flying different warbirds to making parts for them to maintaining for the gearheads. I mean, the diversity that we could do with a YouTube channel, I think would blow all the other aviation channels out of the water. I mean, they have great content, but there's really nobody out there that's doing something warbird style, like what we used to see with Roaring Glory Warbirds, or we used to see with a lot of the old school warbird videos that you used to buy in video shops.
That'd be fun. Well, there's talking and there's doing, so hurry up, Scooter. You know what I mean?
I know.
Hurry up, boy.
You know, it's good, fast, and cheap. You have to choose two.
I'm looking forward to that. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing what you come up with. Going to be great fun, and hopefully we'll have some wonderful content. You know, the Snowbirds did some really great stuff this year, and I'm sure you've seen some of it with the odd camera placements and I mean, they really went over and above, in my opinion, and that was all really to one guy's credit. But they made it look awesome with what they're doing.
Absolutely.
I see a lot of that with what you could do too. I mean, I really do. I think you could kind of come along and do some great stuff as well. Because A, you own the airplane; you don't have to go through a lot of rigmarole to figure out where to put a camera. You can put it wherever you want to. And let's talk about this, because you're also the guy that maintains Quicksilver.
Yes, correct. You know, the one thing the Snowbirds have done beautifully is the video marketing. Match and the guys up there have just absolutely all other jet teams around the world really need to take a look at what the Snowbirds are doing. All their videos just go viral because of the unusual views they're getting from that tank cam.
Yeah.
Well,
and when Match does that,
we can do with Quicksilver,
right? But I mean, let's reiterate this, because Match is also flying the airplane, much like you.
This is true.
And then when he lands, you know, he runs into his hotel room, or he has a driver that actually somebody else. When I think the crew chief actually drives him from the airplane back to the hotel. So along the way, he is literally working on editing the video. I mean, this is a guy that has like 1,000 other jobs like you, but it's a one-man show in a sense. So
yeah, absolutely.
Hats off to
him. I feel his pain.
Yeah, well, you're doing the same thing, and I think it's incredible that it really and truly that there is a phenomenal world-class jet team that represents an entire nation doing the same thing that you're doing with your P-51. I mean, it's kind of remarkable, Scooter. So my hat's off to you, buddy.
Well, thank you. We've added two more different locations for cameras this year, one inside the aircraft and one outside the aircraft. Because, I mean, you know, once you've seen one horizontal cam view of a Mustang, now everybody else is doing it. Now, you know, there's over the shoulder and everybody's now doing over the shoulder. But no one's really, really gone in depth and come up with these next camera mounts that I've painstakingly positioned all over the aircraft. I'm going to give folks a little different view of just what the airplane is doing and what I'm doing in the cockpit. Because I get so many questions, you know, what power settings are you using? What airspeeds are you using? Well, there's a certain way to engage your audience and engage the viewers in what you're doing safely, because also it'll double as a safety parameters, post game footage. You know, you can't beat game footage. That's why football teams, baseball teams, soccer teams, they all video themselves in the act of their profession because they want to get better at it. Well, there's no difference in what we're doing. If we're taking air shows and we're taking low-level, high-performance, high-energy aerobatics, why wouldn't we take the same approach?
Good point. Now, last year or the year before, you were experimenting with some stuff down in the doghouse, and a lot of folks were just kind of blown away by that. Images from the doghouse in the bottom of the P-51. Are we going to see anything from that angle again this year? Someone had just written in and asked that.
Yes. There will be, there's actually on the camera, on the scoop, there will be not one, there will be two cameras on the scoop, one facing forward and one facing aft. And you can actually link them together. GoPro has a way to link them together. I think for video editing, I'll keep them separate, but I'm going to experiment with that a little bit more. Also, Nikon has expressed interest in letting us try out their 360 cam, their brand new 360-degree cam, because 360 flies good, but by the time you upload it, it's such a poor quality. Now, Nikon has taken it to the next level, and I get a lot of questions, you know, how come you guys don't put a, you know, a 360 cam on the Mustang while you're doing class 45 or just while you're doing your run-of-the-mill aerobatics? And I don't have a good answer for that. You know, if Nikon's going to get a let us play around with one, then we'll, by golly, we'll play around with one. So,
well, that'll be fun, especially when we get that coming up. One thing that I want to get into about this, because next month we're going to have you back on for Safety Month. And I think that you bring such a different perspective on flying these old airplanes with your background in the technical side of it, of keeping them going. But since we're talking about flying tonight and not necessarily maintenance, how does that carry over into your flying? Because here we've introduced you as the most aggressive P-51 demo pilot out there today, and I think that's probably the truth, Scooter. You know what this aircraft can take, and you know what it can't. So how does that correlate, or is there a correlation? You just turn a blind eye to it and say, "I'll worry about it when I have it torn down." I mean, how do you measure that?
No, everything I'm doing with the aircraft, and I know a lot of people that are and P-51 fans or aficionados or even other pilots might find this hard to believe. Everything that I'm doing in my routine is in the middle of the envelope. I'm not even getting anywhere close to any of the sides. As long as you keep that aircraft in the middle of an envelope, yeah, sure, maybe I pull a little harder than you. I don't do a 3G loop. I do a 4.5 because it's more crisp. I hold the upline on the vertical stuff because it looks better. I don't like the old man. Everybody's like, these are delicate airplanes. No, these are war planes. The Mustang has the same G limits as an F-18. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it about from anybody. The airplane can take a lot. Doesn't mean you have to give it, but at the same time, if you're going to pull an extra G or two and make it a little crisper performance, then do it. That's always been my philosophy. I've always been a big proponent of flying a crisp, clean, sharp demo. I mean, it's one thing to watch an airplane go through gracefully. It's another thing to go watch an airplane fly like a fighter, like what it really is. It's a thoroughbred. You know, you don't take a racehorse and then take it trotting down the parade. You don't do that. You go and you race it. That's what it's meant to do. And you know, when you're training for that, or when you're building back up your G tolerance in the off season, but you know, that's something you got to work into. Granted, we're not doing plus 10 like the competition guys, but then again, we're not doing 2 and 3 like everyone else out there that's flying a 51. The airplane is built to be a fighter.
And you fly it like what? I mean, you know, look, you've seen my chipmunk routine, and you know how aggressive that is. A 2G loop is not something everyone can do. So,
correct.
I'm just going to leave it
in mind,
right there.
We're also... We're also close to the ground, so there's no reason to be doing a 2G
right.
loop.
Well, I'm at 10,000 feet. I mean, come on. So.
Yeah, absolutely. But and I will reiterate this. There is such a difference between low level flying and out cruising around doing
old man aerobatics. Just yeah. Say it, Scooter. That's what you tell me.
No,
when we're
not,
just sitting around
so
the tailgate.
Because there's
come
a lot of guys out there that do a really nice Mustang routine. That's not aggressive like what I do. There's a lot of guys out there doing that. But what I'm trying to say is there's a big difference between going out at 5,000 feet and taking a buddy for a ride in the airplane and doing a loop and a roll and then all this other kind of stuff in it, and then doing it down low. I mean, not you're going to do it with somebody in the back seat. It's just your psyche, and it's the way you fly. You use different speeds, you pull differently, you have to act differently. There's big differences between low level and we'll call it high level for the lack of words, aerobatics. Lots of differences. And I think that's where a lot of newcomers get confused. They're like, I did 200 loops at altitude. Well, that's great. Now that you're down low and the hard deck is the hard deck, it's not meant to be broken. Act accordingly.
It's a different world.
Mentioned safety equipment. If we're flying a fighter aircraft, it doesn't mean that we're not playing dress up. We're not playing fighter pilot, but at the same time, there's also boiling hot water at your feet. Keep in mind, the coolant tubes run throughout your floorboard. There's fuel to the back of the instrument panel, and there's a chance of you jumping out of it at any time because you got to keep all 12 cylinders happy. So why wouldn't you wear boots, a flight suit, and a helmet?
You mean to the grocery store or flying the airplane?
Oh, to the grocery store.
Yeah. Come on now. Let's get our priorities straight here.
I want everybody to know. I want everybody to know.
Yeah, that's
that.
Right. No, I'm with you.
No, while we're flying the aircraft.
That's right.
Not only – that's taking this seriously. Yes, I understand. These aircraft, we're meant to preserve them and protect them and all the other stuff. But you know what? At the same time, look at the accident information from even back during the war when these things were operational in National Guard units. They had accidents. They had mechanics. Stuff happens. Lots of moving parts. Murphy's going to come into play here sooner than later.
That's right. And the other thing to talk about,
if you're able to fly an aircraft that you can jump out of, why would you not wear a parachute? And I know the big argument is, well, you don't wear a parachute when you fly your Bonanza. Yeah, because it's kind of hard to jump out of a Bonanza.
Well, let's bring this up. But let's go here because you've come on before on Safety Month. We're talking flying right now. Let's talk about getting out of this thing. A lot of these parachutes can't handle the fighter speeds. So you buy the best one that you can afford, and you take your chances. And you, of course, are a believer in a very specific parachute. But again, we're talking about a high rate of speed in a fighter. I mean, what are you doing across the ground when you're low level coming out of a loop?
Oh, absolutely. It's mid to upper threes, if not 400 plus. Now, keep in mind, are you going to jump out of that speed? I don't know. You might. I've always said that if you're going to jump out of an aircraft, it should be under one or two, really, if you define it and you derive it down. The only two ways you're going to get out of the airplane is if it's on fire or if it's out of control. Because if you can control it, you need to try to land it, period, dot, end of story, or set it down somewhere away from people. Now, if that's going to happen, if I'm going to get out of the aircraft, I'm not going to choose the speed at which I'm going to get out. Okay, this is not a Hardy Boys novel where you can pick your own adventure. You're going to get what you're going to get, and if you're going to jump out while the aircraft is tumbling, you're going to jump out at whatever speed that aircraft is tumbling at. If you're going to jump out whenever it's on fire, you're going to jump out not only in a furnace, but probably while it's going rather at a high rate of speed. One of the things that I practice in the off season, and I don't know, a lot of guys will never admit that they do not practice this, but you have to practice getting out of the airplane. I don't mean like jump up and jump out of the airplane. I'm talking about get up and brace yourself to jump out of the aircraft like you're getting out of it. Practicing egress and then dressing for egress as well. Once again, it kills me the number of guys and number of organizations out there in museums, and I'm not going to say names, I'm not going to say organizations, but to fly these airplanes in jeans and a t-shirt and a really loosely fit seat pack parachute with a Bose headset. Guys, it's only a matter of time. A helmet's stifling for overtime, or you don't want to feel like you're a fighter pilot with a flight suit on. But you know what? It might make the difference in saving your life. Denim is very, very flammable, in case you didn't know.
Well, and the passenger in the back too has a stake in this game. And you bring up some good points. One of the things that I think is really great that you just brought up is that you practice getting out of the aircraft. And I think the most prominent example of that was the accident that happened in the UK with the Midair, where we saw,
absolutely.
I mean, what was that, 600 feet maybe at best?
Yeah, he got out rather quick. And when by the time it hit, by the time he jumped and was under parachute, I'm not going to quote an exact number, but A, that was really quick that he got out. And B, that was really well done. That was a textbook jump out of an airplane. And
he got
a swing and a half before he hit the ground.
Yeah.
He lived, but he wasn't, you know, he wasn't in walkout shape. It saved his life at the same time. Especially if you're flying formation, you're flying any of these aircraft. It doesn't really matter. I mean, if you can get out of the aircraft, dress for egress. There's no excuses.
Yeah, good point on that, Scooter. Well, I think it's great. And the other thing too that stands out to me about that particular accident is the speed at which violence occurs. And I think that we often really don't think about that. And every time we talk about Safety Month, and we're going to get into this, the entire month of March, folks, is devoted to what we're talking about right now. And we've been doing this ever since we started this station. And I think we have some great shows in the archive on Safety Month. But Scooter's a wonderful guest, and we're going to get into this. The speed at which this stuff occurs is rapid. And I think that I can't overstress this in the minute emergency situations that I have been in. It always, the first thing that comes to mind, for me at least, is A, am I making this up or is this really happening? Am I really absolutely hearing something with the engine, or is this just in my head? But that's precious time. And in a situation like with Big Beautiful Doll, I mean, obviously he knew he had been hit. But the decision to get out of that aircraft at an air show, that was an impressive amount of speed that he made that decision with, in my opinion. And I commend him for
absolutely
it.
Absolutely, 100%. Like I said, that's a textbook jump. That was
but, you
very
know,
well.
A lot of folks are
well
going to wonder, they're going to say, how do you prepare for that? And I think the only way you can prepare for it is good training. Because what does our favorite Mustang instructor love to say? Lee Lauterbach. He says, You don't rise to the level
of
the occasion.
You don't rise to the occasion. You sink to the level of your training.
Sink to the level of training. So, and you practice
absolutely
this stuff, and you go to recurrency training, and you're not necessarily with Mustang pilots. You've flown with Patty Wagstaff quite a bit.
Yes. Patty and I have done a little bit of flying. We haven't done any really this year, but we will before the beginning of the season. One of the things I advocate, look, is knocking the rust off. You'd be surprised. Next time you're out at Oshkosh or Sun and Fun, and you know what, I'll even tell the rest of the folks, it's time we start putting people on the spot with this, especially the Warbird guys. Go up and ask them how many times they've spun a Warbird, or times they've spun, not necessarily a Mustang, I'm not advocating going out and spinning a Mustang, but I'm saying they spun a T6. How many times have they spun a T-34, a Yak, or whatever it is? How many times have you done upset recovery training outside of airline loft or line training? Okay. The number is unbelievably low. I can't believe it. One of the things I said that I was going to do was I was always going to learn. I was always going to continually hone my skills and get better no matter what I'm doing, especially when it comes to aerobatics. This is not a game. I'm not allowed to have a bad day. Okay, I can't go 0-for-3 whenever I go to an air show. I have to be on my game, and that means going outside my comfort margin. So I went and flew with Patty in an extra, and people might ask, well, what does an extra have to do with a Mustang? Not a whole lot, but you know what? A power-on upright flat spin feels exactly like I've spun a Mustang. It feels exactly like a 51 in a lot of ways. And the recovery is equally as aggressive to get out of. I think that everybody that flies these airplanes should prepare in some way, shape, or form, have basic aerobatics. And I don't mean like the dude that you just bought the T6 off of taught you a loop and a roll. That doesn't count. Go to somebody that knows what they're talking about. Go to a name brand pilot. That's what I'll call them. Go to somebody that knows their self. That's worth their muscle, and fly with somebody and hone your skills. Fly with an air show guy that's got a surface card. You know, take the time, take the investment. It might save your life. You can't beat knowledge and training like that. Go down to Stallion. Go through their upset training and recovery program. I've heard nothing but good things about their UAT stuff down there with the L-39. That is, from what I understand, the couple of flight departments I know that have used it, they are incredibly happy with it.
Yeah, well, Lee's the gold standard.
Go to Sean's school.
Sure.
What's that?
I said Lee is the gold standard. Whatever he does, I mean, it's just incredible. The man is...
He's the best.
He really is.
He's what we all strive to be.
Well, I think it's great advice, Scooter. Now, look, we always get into this when you come on the show. How does that happen? I'm starting to think you're a very passionate man about this, Scooter. I'm starting to think about safety.
Safety and recurrency. You know, one of the things I took a stand for this year
right
was and I just got done saying about safety equipment, I ditched the flight suit. And I went to a racing suit. I went to what the guys in Red Bull and what to the guys in they're doing unlimited aerobatics. Because you know what? If they're flying in a three-layer Kevlar suit, next time you have an old flight suit laying around, pour some gasoline on it. Now take it inside when your wife's not looking and wash it. Wash it and dry it, and then bring it outside and put a match on it and watch what happens.
Yeah. Well,
at night,
and you can do that.
The gas is still there.
Look. How many folks do you know that wash their flight suits and have never read the instructions on how to care for them? Because 90% of those things wouldn't hold up against a kid's lighter, much less an inferno
correct.
Of an engine. I mean, they're all of the flame retardant is gone. In about 90% of those.
Now I'm not advocating in any way, shape, or form that everybody goes out and buys an Alpine Stars three-layer suit. Okay, I'm not advocating that at all. Go ahead if you absolutely feel like it. It'll make you look less like a fighter pilot, so we can get that argument out of the way. But you can't beat that protection. Look, if it's good enough for NASCAR, which has half the amount of fuel on board that I'm carrying and going half the speed I'm going at, why would I not use that same thing? It's for fire protection. It's for whatever it is.
I know a lot of guys that are flying in those now. More and more of them. There's a T28 team doing it. There's a lot of folks that have taken up that mantra and have gone with it. I think it's great. Great idea.
Look at Aeroshell. Look at Aeroshell. They're doing the same thing.
And they have been for some time now.
For as long as I can remember seeing Aeroshell, they've had the racing style suits. The unlimited guys, the guys flying extras and edges and pits and all that other kind of stuff, they're flying in Simpson, Alpine Stars, Sparco, whatever you want to call it. The racing suits, they're comfortable. I understand they might get a little hotter than your average flight suit, but you know, deal with it. Stay hydrated. You're supposed to in the first place.
Well, there you go. Good advice there, Scooter. We're going to have you back on in March for Safety Month. Give us the lowdown on Quicksilver. See, this was supposed to just be Scooter. This was supposed to be a fun, lighthearted show. And here we go. You know, talking about manly chipmunk aerobatics and Mustang flying. Good Lord, Scooter.
Oh, that manly chipmunk.
The manly chipmunk. 2G loop. I call it a Ted Cruz. It's a Cuban 8, a little to the right. And you can do it at 2Gs. So there you go.
Start pulling straight, darn it.
I'm telling you. Here we go. Into the next hour here. Can you hang with us for a little while? Because I want to bring... We had a caller that called in earlier, and I couldn't get to him in time. So we're gonna bring the caller back. By the way, 478-787-4768 is the number to call if you want to get on with Scooter tonight and ask him something. It's also a free call from anywhere in the world via Warbird Radio on Skype. Just username Warbird Radio there on Skype, and that'll get you straight into the studio. Scooter, what do you want to talk about in this next hour? Because I want to get your schedule. I want to hear where you're going to be and how folks can follow along with you, because you have a great Facebook page, you have a great website, and I hope you can share with us about all of those fine points coming up after this. Can you?
Absolutely. I'd love to. Love to get into all that.
We'll be right back after this with Scooter Yoke. Stay with us.
Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Hey, y'all, Tuck Carlson here, introducing my new video series, Tuck Carlson's How to Be a Warbird Pilot. I don't care what you fly. Warbird pilots are the coolest, and I can teach you how to be one. Best part is, you don't even need a plane. Hell, you don't even need to know what a Warbird is just by my video. Inside, you'll learn all the important stuff, like how to fit a flight suit around a beer belly, and why that beer belly is a safety feature. How to ignore small children at air shows. Ain't got time for that. How to grow your ego and sign unreadable autographs. Plus, you'll learn why freedom's the greatest answer to any question. Hey, Tuck, why do you fly these awesome airplanes? For freedom? Or when your wife finds out how much you've spent? Damn it, Tuck. Why'd you spend $6,000 on Avgas? For freedom. So for freedom's sake, buy my video. Before long, people be thinking you're somebody. You'll be sitting around campfires with real women, signing autographs, and petting pretty little baby bald eagles that you grew in redwood trees that you planted beside your hangar. Be awesome, love freedom, and get your copy of Tuck Carlson's How to Be a Warbird Pilot right now. Hey, y'all, hurry, and I'll toss in a special bonus pack. Tuck Carlson's How to Look Good in Short Shorts Late at Night and in the Pilot Briefing. Trust me, short shorts are the coolest things ever. Call now.
Supporting bees the old-fashioned way. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
And welcome back here to Warbird Radio Live. Matt Jolly with us. Guest tonight, Scooter Yoke. We do have a caller hanging out. Scooter, how are you tonight, buddy? You still there with us?
I'm doing fine, Matt.
Well, I'm glad you're with us. We do have a caller on the line. Let's get to the caller, and then we'll get to our mystery caller, who is standing by via Skype here. Good evening, caller. How are you tonight?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Good. Who's calling tonight?
This is Clemens, Chef Pitt's Air Show.
Hey, Chef. How are you tonight? Good to hear your voice. Scooter, do you know
good.
Chef?
Oh, who let him on here?
I'm telling you, this... This guy,
he's a Warbird pilot. Why'd you let him on here?
I didn't know it was him. He's sneaky like that. That chef guy. You know, they did you wash your hands when you were a chef, Chef Pitts? Did you do that, or did you
nope.
Just
yeah.
go back into the kitchen
yeah.
and start
once
cooking pasta
sure.
once or twice? What's your
that
comment?
I was old school. That was before all that started.
What's your comment or question tonight, Chef? And we got to have you back on anyway for your whole show one night. What's your comment?
Yeah,
or question
that'd
tonight?
Be awesome. Yeah. Hey, Scooter, how's it going?
What's going on, Chef?
Hey, I'm doing great. Hey, I've been listening to your comments and stuff and always good information as usual. I had a question which was having to do with setting goals. You obviously have achieved a lot. You know, you're really living the dream, so to speak. You know, you fly a Mustang in air shows and you know, to be successful in this business and for that matter in life, you have to continually set goals. So my question is, at the end of the season, you know, it's, you know, you're talking about the video and stuff, but my question is more pertaining to the actual flying of the airplane. Is there a thought process that you're involved with that, that you're trying to figure out how you can, in other words, is there a new goal every year, you know, or maybe a set of them?
There is. Yes, that's a good question. My overall goal is the same as any of ours, and I'm sure you've heard this 1,000 times, is one is the pursuit of the perfect demo, no matter what it is. Now, I do change mine from time to time. Mine has changed again for this year. My demonstration sequence has changed this year, but you know what? I've always tried. It's just like whenever you're flying around and you want to do as many precision maneuvers. Let's say you're doing a 4-point, you're doing a loop, or you're doing whatever insert maneuver here. You do it until you get it right. Well, the way I look at it is, on my schedule, like for instance this year, I have 23 chances to get the perfect demonstration down, or to my standards, what I think was the best. And I'm always, don't forget, you're always chasing that, because there's always something that, you know, you're always nitpicking. Oh, I could have done this better. I could have done that better. That's my first primary goal, is no matter what, to try to be in the pursuit of perfection for no matter what I'm doing.
Correct.
Obviously safety, that goes without saying. If you've listened to what else I've said, that goes without saying. But yeah, my goal for this year is really to, as I'm, once again, I'm still in the pursuit of what I would consider a perfect demo. I've come close, but I've never obtained that goal. And I think that's one of the things I'll be chasing for the rest of my career. The second would be, you know, and then the small stuff. It's like, you know, I want to be a little bit more community. I want to be more involved in the communities that I go to at the air shows. I want my media presence to be 15% to 20%, which is quite a bit. That is my overall goal for 2017, is I want my media presence to be 15% to 20% more. Do more interviews, do more Facebook stuff, social interact, maybe grow my site by 15% to 20%. That's pretty much my across the board goals, if you know what I mean.
Right. Yeah.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Chef, thanks for calling in tonight. We gotta get over here to our next guest who's standing by to join.
No
Scooter.
Problem. Thanks.
I do appreciate it.
See you, Chef.
Yeah.
Take care. Chef Pitts, you can check him out online as well. This next caller is a man who needs no introduction, so we won't give him one. Good evening, Good evening, caller. How are you from your home in Wyoming, I believe, tonight? Is that correct? He has it muted right now, I think. I think you're muted, or his microphone is muted. Anyway, Scooter, you and I can talk while our mystery guest gets everything set up here tonight.
Wyoming. We can narrow it down.
I wish you could see him on the computer right now, because he's got his camera.
No, I'm good. I'm going to be staring at it. I'm sure I'm probably going to be staring at him the rest of the season.
We were hoping to have Jim Tobel on tonight, and he's. I can see you shouting into the computer, Jim, but it's not coming up. Now he's poor Jim.
Well, that's poor the kind Jim. Of connections you get when you live in Ice Planet Hoth.
That's right.
I mean, there's snow out there.
I have, and poor Shelley has been out there shoveling that snow for the last 18 and a half hours. I don't know what's going on, Jim. I'm very sorry.
Poor Jim.
I know.
Fine language.
Well, I'll tell you what, Jim. We'll call you. How about that? We'll call you back on your phone. We'll call you right back, Jim. But I enjoyed seeing you tonight on there. I enjoyed seeing Jim tonight. We'll have to call him back and have him on. Scooter, let's talk about some of the shows where you guys are going to be this year, because this is going to be a fun season for you and for Jim.
It is. You know, this year, going into ICAST, I had quite a large amount of shows, and I said, you know, I did right at 25 last year, which was, boy, that, I mean, I wasn't even around to enjoy my new place here in South Carolina, or do parts or anything else, because I was in the process of moving, and I really didn't have a business to work in at the time, because all my machinery is being moved. So I just became a gypsy and lived on the road, out of a Mustang, which I guess there could be worse things. But, this year I said, you know, I'm going to scale back a little bit. I'm only going to do 23 shows, which isn't really scaling back at all. That's completely tongue-in-cheek.
Right.
I will tell you that Class of 45 has an awesome setup here as well.
Well, let's bring Jim in. I think he's here now. Jim, are you there?
Yes. You know, I don't know. We just had 3 power outage strikes, and we lost power 3 times. We now have all the candles lit in the house. I got a flashlight right beside me, and I think it nicks my computer here, so I'm going to have to reboot it. That's why it didn't work too well.
Well, I'd say we feel sorry for you, Jim, but I think you'll survive out there.
You know, I tell you what, I was getting on there, and I was Benji. I was a farmer from Barnwell, South Carolina, and I was going to rip Scooter a new one about bombing my farm. Betsy's not giving milk no more.
Oh, that would have been
great. What you going to do about it?
Betsy ain't giving no milk anyways. Why are you upset about it? That's the town that gave you the dadgum milk in the first place, boy.
Come on, Betsy.
Yeah. 70-year-old cows don't milk. Gosh. Time to turn her into little white packages. So you guys with the Class of 45, you're going to have a jam-up year this year. I mean, the Corsair and the Mustang together in the air again. This is going to be a fun year for the two of you.
Well, I tell you, I am really looking forward to it. You know, once you have a bond, when you fly with somebody and you get to know that person, you get to know their responses, what they're thinking, even though you're not right there with them, you're on the outside. I know exactly what Scooter's thinking, and I think he knows the way I'm thinking. And it makes it so nice and enjoyable to fly someone that you have that connection with.
Yeah. Well, you guys are really like brothers. I mean, you've formed such a great bond over the years, and it's fun to watch. I mean, it really shows that you guys have that connection, that sort of sixth sense, if you will.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I agree.
You really can't beat flying with somebody that you don't have to worry about on your wing. I can tell you that after leading formations for years. It's gotten to the point now where, I don't even look back. I know he's there. I know he's in position.
Wow. Now, when you guys were riding snowmobiles,
you guys were riding snowmobiles
together a few weeks ago. Did you ride in formation? Was there formation snowmobiling, or was it just sort of every man for himself?
You know, technically there was. You know, Jim, we could fill out our fast currency for 2017 already.
You know, it's so funny. We're out in snowmobiles, and Scott and I are in the back. And I was in the very, very back just in case we had issues. So Scooter's right in front of me. I'm following him, and he's looking back, and he decides to go rogue. He goes off the trail, goes ripping down, and guess who follows him? Me. I'm right behind him. He's looking back like he doesn't want to run into me. I'm behind him. We come back up on the trail, and we follow the rest of the guys. We had a ball.
No, that's great. Well, that's what it's all about. And the off season is great.
They made the mistake of giving. They made the mistake of giving me the racing one.
Oh man!
Yeah, you did have a hot one. Well, hey, did you mention anything about our West Coast tour?
Oh,
come on! Break some ice here on the show.
You know, I haven't. I actually haven't. But we're talking about in 18 doing a little bit of a West Coast tour with a class of 45 because, let's be honest, we have a base of operation and we could easily get to several of the shows that have been asking us for years to come to, you know, Oregon and SeaTac and Seattle Seafair, Abbotsford, all of those ones that have
Miramar.
Been begging us.
Come on, we got to go to Miramar if you're going to go that way. Now, look, that would be a bucket list item. That'd be a bucket list item for you guys because, seriously, Scooter, you have said for years that your dad dreamed of taking your airplane, Quicksilver, to Reno. Would that potentially be on the list?
To do the air show at Reno, not to race, but to do the air show at Reno. He said the last frontier for this airplane would be to perform at Reno. And I think that's probably going to come true in 18 because that's about the same time. You know, we could work in Seattle Seafair, Abbotsford, you know, Oregon, and I haven't really talked to very many other shows other than those, but I'm excited for it because that's something that I think needs to happen, especially with this team, because that would make us a truly intercontinental team. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it'd be great. Well, and what's money?
Well,
I
now
mean,
we're going to have a base of operations out here in Jacksonville,
right.
Too.
That's right.
Or should I say Alpine?
Alpine.
Building
yeah.
a new hangar should be completed by next year. And so we'll be able to have a base hub for the aircraft, for maintenance, for whatever. So it really facilitates a West Coast swing.
Wow, that's going to be awesome, guys. Looking forward to seeing that. We got to get Miramar on the list. That is such a fun show. I want to see Scooter.
That's your job, Matt Johnson.
Go to bat. I want to see Scooter and Jim Tobel hanging out at the old Top Gun O Club. Singing fighter
songs.
Would
that be cool or what?
Oh, man.
I'll tell you what, that would be cool because, you know, that's San Diego's my hometown. That's where I was born. And it would be cool to do at least one show
in
San
Diego
just to sort of, you know, wrap it all up.
Well, that'd be fun. Well, guys, thanks for coming on tonight. It's so good to hear your voice, Jim. I'm sorry that we couldn't hear you on Skype, but it's nice to hear you on the phone. And
I'm glad we connected somehow, some way.
I'm glad we did too.
Are you supposed to be in Maui?
Yeah, Tobel.
Oh my God! Oh, I'm supposed to be. We're not supposed to be communicating. We're supposed to be in Maui, but there was so much snow they canceled the flight, and so we're going to try it again in the morning, 7 a.m. flight, and hopefully the snow's supposed to quit at 5 a.m. So they should have the runway clear, and 7 a.m. we're heading to Maui.
All right, not in the MU2, I hope.
Absolutely not. Leave the driving to Greyhound, or I should say Delta.
There you go. Well, guys, thanks for coming on. Scott and Scooter from the Class of 45 and from Quicksilver Air Shows. We'll link in the Class of 45 stuff tonight's for the show. I hope you both come back. When is the first show?
Please do.
What's the first performance this year?
March 11th and 12th, we're coming to Tyco. So this will be my return. Tyco since 2011. I have not been back to Titusville since 2011. And Jim will be there as well, and that's where we're kicking our season off.
Good deal, guys.
11. Wow, that was my first year. That was my first air show out of the gate after the reconstruction was Tyco of 11.
That's terrific. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys out there. I hope I see you on the road somewhere. We'll see. We'll see if it works out this year.
Great. Matt, thank you very much. Really enjoyed it.
All right. Jim Tobel and Scooter Yoke, thanks for coming on tonight, guys. We'll talk to you real soon. You can find out more about the two of them at their website there, which will be quick linked into the show story right after we get off the air here tonight. Going to be a lot of fun. Well, we have a whole hour of shows coming up here later tonight, and I'm looking forward to having all of the callers and, of course, even having from old Andy Hines. He's going to be on here in a little bit with Mike Buzzard Hartman, and hopefully we'll have them both on for the Hartman and Hines Show, which is coming up here in a few more minutes, with their special guest tonight. This is going to be something. Their special guest is none other than Mr. Air Show himself, Gene Soucy. And this is going to be a lot of fun tonight when we get these guys on. You know, something we wanted to talk about, too, next month, as we said, is Safety Month. And this is going to be a big deal for the station. It always is. We have a good time on Safety Month, but we also really dive into some pretty, well, uncomfortable topics sometimes. Some folks don't like to talk about this stuff. I think if you get it out in the open and you just start talking about it, that it makes sense. So I bring this up because if there's something that you do want us to talk about, but maybe you're sort of afraid to ask, well, send me an email, matt@warbirdradio.com, and we'll get it out. I want to check in with Chilson. Is Chilson there? Are you there, Mike?
Yeah, buddy, I'm here.
Or are you down in the shop tonight?
No, not tonight. I'm having to take care of some other stuff.
Got the hemorrhoids again?
Yeah, well, you know how it goes.
Are they flaring up? I'm so sorry, Mike. I hate to hear that. No, hey, I wanted just to have you jump on real quick because it is Safety Month next month, and you always do such a terrific job. Are you planning to come back on with your Safety Month show in March?
Actually, yes, we're going to do the Safety Show in March, and we've got one coming up the end of this month, I think the third week of February. So, yeah, for sure, March will be our regular safety show.
Good deal.
And we'll talk a lot about that.
I always learn something. And Mike, of course, hosts the RC Scale Builder Show. He runs a wonderful website called the RC Scale. It's called rcscalebuilder.com, the finest in really scale modeling that you can find for radio control flight. And it's a wonderful, wonderful site. And Mike Chilson knows how to keep these things safe. And you know, we always learn something about battery technology or engine safety, whatever it is, you can find it there, and you'll find out about it in March for this year, Safety Month. We used to do four shows a month.
Oh, man, how
Safety
do we
month.
Do that?
Well, I think the content has gotten better because it's been condensed, and so I would never say that. But, you know, right. I mean, you really used to pull out the stops, so I'm looking forward to seeing how you cram all of this stuff in March. It's going to be a lot of fun. Well, Mike, thanks for coming on. I look forward to hearing you. Do you know who the guest is? Can you say yet who the guest is this month?
Not yet, because they haven't confirmed, but it will be someone who's never been on the show before.
It's going to be huge. Huge. It's going to be a great
huge.
Show. It's going to be a
it's
great
be
show.
Huge.
Going to make the RC Sales Builder Show great again. It's going to be awesome. All right.
That's right.
I'm a little nervous for Hartman and Hines tonight. I'm a little nervous for
those boys can take care of themselves, you know?
I don't know. Hartman gets a little starstruck. And Gene,
well, they managed
nobody
to get
there.
Up every morning and put on clean underwear, so I think they can get through the show.
Well, we'll see. And you haven't smelled Mike. I don't know. Hartman. We'll see about the clean underwear tonight. But hey, good to hear your voice, Chilson. I'm looking forward to having you back on in a few more weeks. Thanks again. Mike Chilson, happy Valentine's Day, by the way. Happy Valentine's Day.
Back at you, my friend.
All right. And don't forget, we will be live next week, even though it is Valentine's Day. And going to be a lot of fun. So if you can join us next week for the Valentine's Day show, we'll have we haven't decided. We were talking about this earlier. I was talking about this with several folks, and we're thinking about doing an old fashioned crying love 'em or leave 'em show next week, which could be kind of interesting to see how that would pan out on Warbird Radio. But we'll figure it out as we go along. So, still to come tonight, in about 11 minutes tonight, really and truly, about 11 minutes from now, an all-new Hartman and Hines show kicks off, and it's going to be a blast with Gene Soucy. So sit back, relax, pour another drink, and then come back with us at the top of the hour and sit in for the Hartman and Hines show. We're going to go get everything ready in the green room and get the guys connected up so they can welcome Mr. Air Show, Gene Soucy, to Warbird Radio. It's going to be a great time, and we look forward to it. Remember to thank a veteran if you see one out there. And until next week, I'm Matt Jolly. You make it a great day, and we'll talk to you next week with an all-new show right here on Warbird Radio Live. Thank you so much.